Hello and welcome to Scamp's Scarecast. Today I'll be reading from Reddit, r/freescarystories. The first story is titled, Two Stories That Will Scare You, by user Loony Whisper. Story 1. So at the time I was 5 or 6, and I was playing on my bunk bed, and I hear an unfamiliar man's voice saying, Bella, which is my name. At the time, only me and my mum were home, and I was in my room all alone. Story 2. Me and my family moved into the house we currently live in about 4 years ago. We have an upstairs, and the upstairs is just a game room, and it has a closet. Within the closet, there are two small doors that lead to the attic, and randomly, we go upstairs and see that both of the attic doors are open. And when we close them, the next time we're upstairs, they will be open. And this has been happening for 2 years now. And story 2 is called Physic Vampire by Six Broken Teddy Bear 6. This is a true story. Hi guys, if any of you do not know, I am a witch. That means I work with herbs and stones. And I realise something that is in my family. Before I tell you, I'll share the story first. This morning, I woke up full of energy, which I was happy about because I'm usually tired. So I went downstairs, got my breakfast, and went to Julian with my family to go apple picking. But as soon as we got there, I got this overwhelming feeling of weakness, and I was really tired. This went on for about half an hour, so I told my mum, a former witch, but I was feeling like energy was being sucked out of me. She said, it might be a physic vampire. It is a type of vampire that sucks the energy out of people. I got a bit scared. When the day was almost over, I decided to go with my dad to say goodbye to someone. As soon as I went with my dad, I got a boost of energy and I was confused. As soon as we said goodbye to my dad's friend, we went back to the car, and I got the overwhelming feeling of weakness and tiredness again. I started to suspect that it was either my sister or my mum that was the psychic vampire. My mum and dad wanted to go to a winery, so we went to one. As soon as we went to the winery, my sister and I sat down outside. That's when I decided to tell her about the psychic vampire. When I was telling her about it, she touched my arm and I got the feeling of weakness again. That's when I knew my sister was the psychic vampire. I told her that she was the psychic vampire and she got a bit scared, but now it's kind of fine with it. And final story is called Almost Killed by a Drug Dealer. And the username is DarkLord5689. Hi guys, first time poster. This story took place before I was born, sometime in the late 90s, I believe, and was told to me by my dad. I have many uncles, one of them being my Uncle Edward. My Uncle Edward was an alcoholic and drug addict. My uncle's addiction led to him lying and stealing. My uncle and dad were living with my nana at the time when this incident takes place. My uncle stole my dad's car, which at the time was a Ford Escort, in the middle of the night to go meet with drug dealers. In the morning, my dad noticed that his windows on my dad's car were shattered. My dad confronted my uncle about the smashed windows. My uncle lied and said it was the kids that were responsible for damaging the car. My dad knew my uncle was lying and pretty much beat him up until he told the truth. What really happened was that my uncle owed his dealer money, but was unable to pay him because he did not have any. My uncle drove away, but the dealer shot at the car, shattering the windows. But my uncle was lucky and survived. My uncle died in 2014 due to an issue regarding his lungs. I'm forced to live with the fact that I didn't get to know my uncle thanks to drugs. Please think before you act and don't do drugs. Story number 4. Babysitting Horror Story. Username ZWest8802. I am a 17-year-old girl and I work overnight with 3 girls, ages 11, 8 and 3. But the 3-year-old has autism. Well, it all started when I sent them to bed. Nothing abnormal about that, right? Well, it was 11 p.m. and the 8-year-old's light was still on. And their bedtime was actually at 9 p.m. She does not have a door to lead into a room. So I quietly snuck out of my room that I was staying in to go see what she was doing. She was, of course, on her phone. I asked what she was doing and she jumped because I snuck up on her. Well, she said she was just turning it off. Well, I thought that was odd because she said it weird. So I asked for the phone. As I was putting it up, lots of notifications were popping up. They were text messages. So me being the nosy teenager, I looked to see what the texts were. To my surprise, it was sex talk from multiple ladies in their 20s to 30s. I did not know how to react, so I opened up the phone to see what was going on. That was a mistake. As soon as I opened it, a video of a lady shitting on a man in a man's mouth appeared full volume. Keep in mind, she is 8. I immediately texted the mum and apologised for going on the phone. I also tell her what I find. I continue my investigation, and there were so many messages from ladies asking if they want to see their pussies or watch them play. The search history was a bunch of pooping in mouths, peeing in mouths, and sex. I was shocked. She is only 8 years old. I don't know where to go from looking at the phone. Should I just quit my job? And the final story for today is called The Room with the Train by Kreitz. This story is not about a ghost or an encounter with a creepy stranger. It's not even about a near-death experience or something like that. As a matter of fact, I was never in danger during the event of what I'm about to tell you. Nonetheless, it's a disturbing memory that I will carry with me until the day I die. I grew up in a small city, the kind of place you could barely call a town if it wasn't for the sheer number of people living there. Downtown was a couple of blocks long, and in the middle was one of the biggest buildings in the area. It was the local movie theater named after the city. I remember going there when I was very young, about 7 years old, and watching the first Pokemon movie. It was probably nothing compared to the theatres we have nowadays. But back then it was huge for me. I loved it. So when a few years later I heard the cinema was going out of business, I felt really sad about it. The building was sold to a religious group that used it for their services. You know, the type, loud music, big crowds with their arms in the air, singing prayers, some having seizures on stage while the pastor yells through a mic. Every time I walked past the old cinema, I would see the announcements of the congregation where the movie posters would have been. And they were in session. You could hear them singing from the other side of the street. This group owned the cinema for nearly a decade until the local government brought back the building in order to restore it as a historic landmark. When this happened, I was studying construction with the intent to follow architecture or civil engineering at college. And my class was very lucky to be involved with the cinema's restoration project because two of our teachers were architects working on it. I will always remember the day we went to visit the old cinema. Our class was small, only a handful of students, but we were all around the same age, so we all shared childhood memories of when the cinema was operational. We ran through the corridors of the auditorium, sat in the chairs, just like we did when we were little kids, and began stomping on the wooden floor with our feet, filling the entire room with echoes of our drumming and our laughters, a little ritual of sorts everyone used to do right before the beginning of a movie. Once nostalgia time was over, we went back to the purpose of the trip and began to survey the building. We were very excited because that was the unique opportunity to go into places we could have never been allowed to otherwise, so we made sure to check every last corner, every single room, no matter how far, no matter how obscure. The first one we found was below the stage. On one of the corners, there was a little door, not very visible, probably because it was meant for maintenance staff. Behind it, we found a long room filled with rusty boilers, part of the old heating system that was no longer in use. The place was a little creepy, with all those old tanks and pipes crowding the narrow space. But what we found past them was that what really started to freak us out. This room was small, very small. It was, after all, basically just left out of the space behind the boilers. Yet it contrasted so much with the rest of the area around it, it may as well have been from a different place altogether. The walls were painted a light colour. White, I think. But I don't remember it very well because what really got our attention were the drawings in them. There were rainbows, a smiling sun, trees, flowers, and happy little people with smiles on their faces, or dotted eyes. It was a daycare. The whole class and teacher gathered to see the discovery. We were all very confused about the strange placing of the room. Okay, we could understand the need for a place to keep the kids, but were a little too little to be amongst the crowd during prayers. Or maybe the ones of the people who weren't there. But the placing was just, I don't know, odd. The stage was probably one of the loudest places in the auditorium during services. and this was right below it, so there was no way it could be a quiet place for the children. We left the boiler room and continued our tour through the theatre, a little puzzled about our finding, but not giving it too much thought. Outside the auditorium, there were the bathrooms, both in terrible condition. The ticket sale booth and a huge set of stairs that led to a mezzanine in the auditorium. Half of the seats there were totally ruined due to the water leaking roof, and I cursed these people for not taking proper care of the building. With that part done, all that was left was the projection room on the third floor. Behind the tickets booth, there was a door that led to a spiral staircase. I don't remember how tall it was, but it must have been over 10 metres of metallic steps without a single resting spot. I wasn't exactly an athlete, but I could walk several kilometres with no problem, and rode on a bike to and from school every single day. Yeah, by the time I reached the top of the stairs, I was exhausted. And I wasn't the only one. All of my classmates complained about how hard it was to walk up there. After a short break to catch our breath, we moved on to explore the third floor. It was roughly a narrow passageway with a couple of divisions to form different rooms. But it was more than enough for what it was made for. The first room from the stairs was a storage deposit, probably where they kept the movies and other equipment. And except for some trash, it was mostly empty. The second room was on the one we were all excited to see, the projector room. The old machine was too big that it was still there, and there were even some pieces scattered around. It was quite a piece of history, and we were all very thrilled to check it out. So no one really bothered to move on to the very last room until we were about to leave. And then we saw it again. There was a train in this one instead of a rainbow. Something was written on it in big colourful letters. Something about Christ. I can't remember it that well. The drawings were a bit old, the paint slightly peeled from the walls, but the colours were just as cheerful as you would expect for a place where children play. My heart sank into my stomach as I came to the realisation of what that place really was. The one behind the boilers, probably serving the same purpose. I took notice of how isolated that room was. Literally the furthest away you could possibly get from everyone else. I thought about the three floors of stairs and imagined what it would have been like to have been the child to walk up all that way, only to end up in that room. The room with the colourful chain on the wall. My classmates and I exchanged horrified expressions, as I knew they were thinking the same. We never visited the theatre again, even though we continued with the restoration project for several months, and we never talked about those two rooms. Cases of molestation in the church are well known by everyone, to the point that the pedo priest is practically a cliché. But this is the kind of thing you think happens in some place far away, in another city, even in another country. You never imagine it can happen in the very same town you live, the place where you grew up, in the very building where you once watched a Pokemon movie when you were 7 years old. Right, that will bring us to the end of this podcast. Thank you for joining. If you would like to join a subreddit, my subreddit, r/scampsscarecast to post your own horror stories, or to read others, or interact with me, then feel free to join. And as always, stay creepy.